And I had the opportunity to talk with Richard a little bit before services, and he says, I don't want you to be uncomfortable. I'm fine. I'm not uncomfortable. This is not a competition. I have always felt that if the Lord wants us somewhere, that's where we'll be. If the Lord doesn't want us somewhere, hey, that's great, because He wants us somewhere. And He wants somewhere, someone, wherever. The Lord will work things out to His glory. And I certainly pray for the brethren here that you find the right preacher. If that is me, hey, that's great. But if it's not, hey, that's great. Because the Lord will work things out. In fact, we have no other recourse when it comes to things that are beyond our knowledge. How is it going to work out? I don't know. Sometimes the Lord lets lets His will be done through the evil that men choose to do. I appreciate our brother's words about Satan thinking he'd won. And what a party that must have been until that moment. Ha-ha, I've killed the Son of God. Wait a minute. The greatest moment of victory in Satan's eyes turned into the greatest moment of defeat. And only the Lord can do that. I would like to share with you a little bit of a visual thing here. I've got in my pocket. Well, you know, there's folks in the very far back. Let's see if I can work this out. That is a 2 hryvnia note from the Ukraine. Got one right here. And that's an interesting looking thing. It's pretty. Got all kind of neat colors. European money tends to be much more colorful than our old greenbacks, as it were. It's a $2 bill right there. Now, the neat thing about this, you don't see a lot of $2 bills. In fact, I worked with a lady who refused to take one time when she was working a cash register. She didn't think it was real. I said, it's a $2 bill, not a $3 bill. You can take it. But it's got the Declaration of Independence on the back. That's really intricate. It's got Jefferson on the front. That's a Virginia boy. If you get a chance, go to Monticello. Where we live, there's a town called Monticello. It's going to take a while to get back to saying it right. But, you know, no matter how much I do to this 2 hryvnia note, you know, I can write on it. I can get a Sharpie out there and write $2 on it. There. It's the same, right? Well, no. Well, what if I put Jefferson on there? I can cut this Jefferson out here and tape it right over Yaroslav's face. Yaroslav's face. I could just tape that right over top of it. Oh. How did I manage that one? Oh, you got me back there. Well, no wonder. He's taking over. That's okay. We're good. We're good, brother. We're working together on it. Yeah, I can take Jefferson's face and put it on there. You knew where I was going with that. Is it a $2 bill? But it's got Jefferson's face on it. It says $2. You know the funny thing? Even if I make this look exactly like this, even if you couldn't tell the difference, if I did some kind of magic, and I can't do that. I know some preachers who do some, that's not me. Even if I take this and I'm going to do something with this, and you know I got it in and put it in my magic machine, and out comes this. Is it a $2 bill? You know, with computing technology being what it is, and scanners and printers, I could make a bunch of these, and then I could go. Well, it's $2. I mean, I could go buy a lot of Slurpees or something. Get a lot of candy bars. Big stack of them down to Walmart and buy something. But what's going to happen? I'm going to be arrested, and they're going to haul me off to the pokey. Why? It's fake. It's called a counterfeit. It's not real. I cannot, no matter what I do, I can't convert that two grivnia note into a $2 bill. How can I do that? How can I get to that $2 bill from that 2 grivnia note? Well, I can go to the bank. I go down to the bank, and they will, for a modest fee, exchange foreign currency for American currency. That would be great. Would have also been great if I'd started my timer. You get the extra long version. Oh, good. That old joke about the preacher gets up and he opens his Bible and the little kid says to his grandma, "What's that mean?" It means he's getting ready to read from the Word of God. And he puts his notepaper out there and, "What's that mean?" And grandma says, "It means he's got a lesson prepared. What he's going to speak about God." And then he takes his watch off and puts it up on the pulpit and he says, "Grandma, what does that mean?" And she says, "Absolutely nothing." Forgive me, bear with me there, but I can take that 2 grivnia note down to the bank and I can say, "I want a $2 bill." You know what they're going to tell me? You better add a bunch more. That 2 grivnia note, as neat as it is, and yes, I am saving it. We went to Ukraine a little over 10 years ago, and it is a memento of that momentous occasion to me. It's worth about 7 cents. At least the last time I checked, it might be worth 2 now. I can't make an even exchange because 2 grivnia is not worth $2. You know, God says we must be converted. He wants to change us from what we were to something else. We must be converted. And yet, we have to be converted in Him, to Him, His way. I'd like for us to look this morning at 3 basic components to that biblical conversion. The component that is God's part, that is our part, and that is the church's part. See if I can skip that. There we go. I should have just left you doing it. So what about God's part? If you will turn with me over to Romans 11, I'm beginning in verse 33. I appreciate we... You know, you can't plan this out when you got a visitor and you don't know what he's preaching on and you got the songs scheduled out. But look at how just perfect we transitioned from the songs that we just sang to, oh, the depth and the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. So notice something with me, if you will. That without God, conversion is impossible. Salvation is impossible without God. It says that salvation is from God. That He is the source of salvation. If you look at through Him, it comes down from God, it works through God. I hate having to look over my shoulder like that, but forgive me. But notice that the end result is to Him in more ways than we have time to observe. We could have a whole lesson just on from Him, through Him, and to Him. The ultimate goal, we want to get home with the Father. You know, I had a coworker who misunderstood angels. He said, so when Jesus comes back with His angels in flaming fire, he's got the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians he's going through in this study of his. He says, "I want to be one of those guys." And I said, "I'm pretty sure," this was long, long ago, "I'm pretty sure you don't get to be one of those guys. And let's face it, what should we want to be?" I said, "I want to be the guy who says, It's light. There's no light, but it's light. You see that over there? That's God. I want to be that guy. That's our ultimate goal. We understand the beauty of Jesus' sacrifice. Again, I appreciate your words, brother. He came down. He stepped down from where he was. And in the prayer, you know, he could have called 10,000 angels, as the song says. Oh, if he's the Son of God, let him come down from there. Thank God he did not. But what do we know? He was willing to leave where we want to ultimately go so that we could get there. Well, how does that work? With God being the source, from him, through his means, to get to him. Well, how does that play out? How does God's part play out? Well, Paul, just a little bit before our section here, beginning 11:33, says something about the lump and the dough and the first fruits and the holy root. Well, who's that? Well, that's Jesus Christ. We are adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. So how does that work? Well, Paul would say that if we have been united with him in his death, then we shall likewise be united with him in his resurrection. If you look, the book of, they're all my favorite book. I used to say, well, this is my favorite book. And then, well, this one's my favorite book. Well, this one is. They're all my favorite, but Romans is just a phenomenal work. He starts from God. He demonstrates through God and shows us to God through the whole letter. But notice this, that the first fruits and the holy root, through that we are grafted in. I think grafting is a neat process. Have you ever seen, when we lived down in Mechanicsville, we had a dogwood in our front, right next to the driveway, and it had white flowers and it had pink flowers. And the white flowers were all on the outside, and the pink flowers were all on the inside. Now, how did that thing grow like that? I had no idea, until somebody pointed out that it was two trees. Well, really only one, because it had been grafted. That pink one had been grafted into the center. Somebody had cut into that tree where the life-giving source is at the holy root for us in Christ. But the life-giving root of that tree, then this other tree was grafted in. And it received all of its sustenance from that other tree. And then the two became one. And there was life for both. It's a beautiful concept, grafting. But notice that it's really beyond our ability. How do we do this? Well, I told you, Paul begins from God. How does he do it? Look at Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. How does that look? I'm a word geek, by the way. I love words. I love when they do neat things. I'm convinced. I tried to defend preacher jokes to a friend of mine. He said that genetically we're warped, and that whatever it is that makes us want to be preachers makes us like bad jokes. I said, no, our stock in trade is words. We communicate. And when words do neat things, we get a kick out of that. That's why we like puns. Well, I hope you do. You're not good at it? Well, you appreciate them, though? Okay, we're all right there. But that idea, that when words do neat things, well, the power of God, the word there translated power is dunamis. That's where Nobel got his word for dynamite. He said, "What should we call this incredibly powerful explosive?" Well, it's very powerful. Well, he knew his Greek. He says dynamite. The dynamite of God. What can pierce a heart like mine? Sometimes it takes some godly dynamite to break its way through. And what is that dynamite? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. the gospel, that understanding of our lowly state. You know, I've often been frustrated when folks get angry at talking about hell. Well, if that's all you talked about, that'd be miserable. You know, if all we were was sinners in the hands of an angry God dangling over the fire, that would be miserable, but that's not God. How can we truly understand the grace and mercy of God, our Father, and Jesus the Son, and the blessing that we have in the words delivered by the Spirit, that Godhead, unless we understand what awaits those who don't have Him? It is the good news. So, it is the good news to everyone who believes. Now we come back to chapter 11 and look at verse 26. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. How will Israel be saved? The same way everyone else will be saved, only in Christ. Everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek, takes a little effort. What do we have to do? We have to avail ourselves. God says, here. A friend of mine once preached a sermon and had a picture that is just, I have been looking for this picture for years because it was so powerful. And in the picture, there's a burning building. And there's a firefighter on a ladder, and he's at full gear, the mask, the whole deal, and he's got his hand out, and there's this fella in the building, and he's doing this. We're in the midst of a burning building. And God, I said, take my hand. And God has said to us, extend your hand. Take that gospel message. Now we're going to run into those who turn their head. Because there is a part on the individual that is responsible for transformation. Now, my part, I am to present myself a holy sacrifice to God. What kind of sacrifice? What does God want in a sacrifice? Well, if you look in the Old Testament, you can see it's the first fruits. It's the lamb without spot. In Malachi gets all over the Jews because they were offering, you know, what was snagged in a fence or injured. And he even says, would you give that to your governor? You know, you wouldn't give that to your earthly leaders. Why are you trying to give that to God? You need to be giving your best, your first fruits. We need to be a sacrifice that is set apart. We need to be different than the world. And that's the call of Romans, is to be transformed. Well, I hope she won't get upset with me. I was talking with Mrs. Modell. I keep wanting to mess up your name. It's okay, you messed mine up once, we're even now. But Mrs. Modell and I were talking this morning, and I said, you know, I might even mention this. Well, here I am, I'm going to mention it. When the church is fully integrated, race and socioeconomic, it's different than the world. Social clubs, what do? They pick out what's different. Let's start a club. Just preachers. Well, that's exclusive. There ain't going to be, but so there could be a few guys here. Well, what are we doing? We're excluding others. But what does the gospel say? Everyone who believes. And when the church doesn't make distinctions based on appearance, physical appearance, or say, oh, here comes the wealthy guy, put a ring on his finger, and here, have a seat of honor. When the church is doing what it's supposed to, when it is different than the world, and yet we are fighting as hard as we can in ourselves to fit in, and Christ calls us to be like Him, how well did He fit in? He was such a good preacher, they murdered Him. And that's what we are to aspire to, not being murdered, but to be so effective that the world cannot deny the gospel truth. We're to be set apart, not like the world, to be acceptable to God, as I mentioned, that lamb without spot. Now, here's the interesting thing. Kind of like that money. What's my life like? If I'm going to be honest with myself, I'm going to look at it and I'm going to find sin. You know, well, you can't help but look at that. Look at Romans 6. We've sinned, but we have God to make up the difference. That's the only way I can be with that sacrifice for God without spot. Because if I say, look, I'm a good person. Am I a good person? Yeah, I think I'm a good person. But do I have sin? Well, yeah, a little bit here and there. Then that's not acceptable as a sacrifice. Well, what am I going to do about that? I can't get rid of it. I'm worth it's worth 7 cents. I can't even make an even exchange. I'm not worth what Christ is. Ah, but the free gift of God. That's the beauty of that. And so we see then how we can be a sacrifice acceptable to God. We must be transformed by something that is not of us. And for the Christian, we know what it is. It's the blood of Christ. We just partook of that memorial feast, of that reminder that we need Christ for that. So we have to transform our sacrifice by transforming our mind. We've got to think differently. One of our brethren said one time that you've already made your decision by the time you get to that fork in the road. And I got to thinking about it. I thought, that's really profound. He doesn't think it's any big deal. It's not a big deal. But if we say, if we get to the moment, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And we haven't already decided in our minds what kind of people we're going to be. More often than not, people take, like water, the path of least resistance. If we're really honest with ourselves, and I'll look at my life and I'll say, yeah, I do that. But if I say, when the time comes, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, well, that's changing the way we think about things. Up front, contemplating. Maybe even one could say discerning. That's what Paul called it. He said, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So he's talking about discerning, going and looking in the Word and seeing what God's will is. Yes. But testing is an active thing. When we live the Christ-like life, we're going to be different than the world, and it's going to be difficult at times, but we're going to see, we're going to discern that it is best. It is the best way to go. But it takes a lot to transform our mind to think so completely different, to be not conformed. Because what's going to happen when we're different? And I worked many years ago for a company that, well, it's well within this world. I'm sure nobody's heard of it, Capital One. But I worked there, and they had a very beer culture. I don't know what else to call it. And one of my coworkers came to me and said, hey, new guy. Because that was the new guy. Hey, new guy. I was just wondering if you wanted to go down after work Friday to the local watering hole. We have our big brouhaha Friday afternoon after work. And I would like to invite you. Notice a personal pronoun. I would like to invite you. And I said, well, I appreciate you trying to include me, but I don't drink. And here was the reaction. Oh, it's okay. I understand. Oh, no, I'm not an alcoholic. I just don't drink. He thought it was okay. Oh, it's okay, I understand. I thought I was a recovering alcoholic. I said, no, I just don't drink. Watch the pronoun change. What, do you think you're better than we are? Did I say that? Why did he think that? That's different. I'd made a different choice. Now, why would I make a choice? Oh, I'm sorry, I don't drink. Is that how I make my choices? I hope not. You have any opinions, brother? No opinions at all? Do you have any opinions, brother?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Opinions are always wrong.
No, but do you...
That's only your opinion.
Do you think they're right?
Sometimes.
Why would you hold up an opinion you didn't think was right?
Because it gets proven later on.
No, but at the time you think it's right, right?
At the time I think it's right, yes.
Okay, that's because that's the way we work. We make a choice because we think it's right. So the implication is if someone makes a different choice than we do, they think we're wrong. We don't like being wrong, do we? Them's fighting words. Now, opinion being what it is, we can do that friendly. But of course I think my opinions are right, or I wouldn't choose to have them as my opinions. Well, people get that. And as soon as we choose differently than they do, as soon as we look differently, what do you think, you're better than we are? Grown man, and I'm getting peer pressure. I thought that ended in high school. What happened to that? You know? No, it happens the rest of our lives. But to be different, and I love this, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Word geek thing here. Transformed. Metamorpho. Sound like anything we know? Metamorphosis, like that caterpillar that goes into the chrysalis and comes out maybe a moth or a butterfly. Either way, you got this gross thing with all these legs that is, you know, going to nibble on your stuff to something that, well, might still nibble on your stuff, but you know, it's pretty by comparison. It's a transformation. It goes in one thing and it comes out something seemingly completely different. Well, think about that frog. You see the frog eggs in the pond? And then the little tadpoles? And then they got kind of that little intermediary stage. You know, but what happens? They breathe water. Well, okay. They breathe underwater, they breathe oxygen, they get it through the water. But they breathe underwater. And then what happens? They breathe air. Because they've changed what sustains them. Now see, I have meat that you don't know about. Well, what was it? To do the will of the Father. That will sustain me, the Lord said. That's a completely different way of thinking. Is he talking about bread again? They're always big on that. Is he talking about the bread again? When he's talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, he's talking about bread again. Because we think with our guts. We think with what we know. We think about this earth with its fire and its trumpet and all of the tangible things. And yet the Lord says it's bigger than that. That's why he would say, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual thing. But when we think differently and we discern and practice, we're going to do things differently when we come together, when our minds are wired differently. We're going to come together as the Lord's body, as the collected flock. I love that. Look at that. You get three word things today. Congregation. That's the flock together. Interesting. So we are to come together as members of the body. Yay. We're to come together and we all serve a different part of the same body. That eye and the foot and the knee and somebody got to be an armpit. You know, you think about, oh boy, this is... You ever live in a place you call the armpit of that state or that area? I have. I've done that. But you know what? The armpit's actually kind of important. Can stink. Yeah, it can. but it serves a purpose. And without the ability, having sweat glands, oil and sweat and all of that, you think of that, oh, that's gross. And then when you're a teenager, you really hate that. But it serves a natural purpose, a God-designed purpose. Even if we think something's yucky, even if we see mopping up or cleaning the spider webs off the window, I'd say it's one of the earliest lessons I got from my wife before I became a Christian. Walking by a window in a church building, ooh, look at that, there's dead bugs and all that in there. And she says, hang on, and she grabbed a paper towel and cleaned it out. I said, don't you have somebody who cleans the building? And she said, yeah. Okay. There's not to be anything beneath us, as it were, as Christians. There's nothing above us either, by the way. There is no work so great that through Jesus Christ we can't accomplish it. Because we are all members of the body functioning as a whole. You know what one of the least important parts of the Lord's body is? Right. There are none. You know what the most important is? All of them. Yeah. I don't know. I'm worried about you, brother, if you're thinking like I am. But but all that said, it's supposed to work together. We've got techno geek people here. I identify with that. I'm one of them. I love computer stuff and getting things working and troubleshooting. That's what I did for years for work. Try not to do it anymore if I can help it. But every now and then, somebody comes up with a need, and I can fill it. Have you ever noticed how when something really big comes down the pike, there's somebody at the church who can help? Even if they're not an expert, you know, qualified expert, there's somebody who has some experience. And Paul would say it this way, we suffer so that we are better equipped to help those who are suffering. So maybe we think of that as a horrible thing, but God uses it to His greater glory. But now look at this love. The whole purpose of all of this. And Paul would talk about this in Romans 12 further on. Look at all these gifts, all of these measures of faith, and all of this different stuff. What is the purpose of all the members that goes to the purpose? It is, let love be genuine. All of that is thinking differently. My brother likes movies. This brother likes Looney Tunes. I think he's over there saying he is Looney Tunes.
Did you read his mind too? That's a scary thing.
Well, I thought I heard something anyway. But you know, we've got some folks here. I'm not going to guess ages. I'm just not. But in the Lord's church, it's nothing. Nothing to come across a 16-year-old who is a big nut for cars. He's been working since he was 14, 13, 12 maybe on the car that he's been rebuilding, that his dad's been helping him rebuild in the garage. And he's sitting right next to an 80-year-old man who has a deep and abiding love for classical guitar. Can play Spanish guitar beautifully. And what in the world has them sitting next to each other? You're not going to, the only place you're going to see them sitting next to each other out in this world is likely to be the DMV. But what's going to bring them together and make them look at each other and say, I love you, brother. No matter what your background, no matter where you come from. You have brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. It brings, it unites. It let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. All of these things are marks of the true Christian, where we think differently. Back at the beginning of Romans, when he says that the gospel is the power of God for salvation, he quotes the most quoted passage, I believe, in the script in the New Testament: "The righteous shall live by faith." And this is what's interesting. What are we to do? What is the greatest thing that our faith leads us to? Seeking the will of God. What is the will of God for all men? Seek and save the lost. That's actually part of it. It's part two. That is like unto the first. Hint, hint. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And the second is like unto it: love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13, 8 and following talks about loving the Lord our God and following. We also have in 12 there to love your neighbor. What is the purpose of coming together? To love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor. Now, what do we do? I was worried when you went to Hebrews there. I was afraid you're gonna kind of camp out there and I'm stealing my thunder. We are to stir one another up to love and good works. That's the purpose of the church together. The collected flock is to help each other think differently. Because when we're here, when we're together, though we don't always agree on everything, we don't always get along like we should, we're supposed to get along a lot better than we do with the world. Because we think differently. We have been transformed. So we are to come together and help one another love. Can't do it our own way. Why not? I can make a bill look like a $2 bill. I can pretend that that's a $2 bill. I might even be able to fake being a Christian. But if I don't do it God's way. And there's a lot out there that says, well, just become a Christian the way I tell you to. Well, what's the problem with that? It's not God's way. It's not a complete transformation. God's way. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Any other gospel, that's why Paul got so irritated with the Colossians. But what's the point? Okay, we can't do it our own way. We don't have enough to make an even exchange. Here, let me give you my life and you give me Jesus. Even? No. But what does God say? God in His mercy says, and His grace says, give me your life and I'll give you Jesus. Turn your life over to me and I will give you that life-saving blood. He lived a life to show us how to live it. Romans 1, I started in on that a moment ago. The righteous shall live by faith. What is it that saves us? The grace of God through faith. It's all through Romans. By grace are you saved through faith. There's Ephesians as well. What does he say? To be saved, we must have faith. We must respond in faith. But once we are there, who lives by faith? Righteous. It's the saved who partake. It's the saved who live by faith. We must be guided by our faith. What gets you through the tough times? You want to talk about different than the world. What does the world struggle with? I grew up an atheist, I'll tell you. Bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad. What's our answer? In faith. By faith, I know that the Lord causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. Because God is graceful and merciful. But what about the bad things that happen to good people? This life isn't it. Sang that song by Horatio Spafford. It is well with my soul. Do you know when he wrote that thing? He was crossing the Atlantic and he was at the spot where his children had all perished. Drowned in the ocean. And they're going past, it gives me chills just thinking about it. They're passing over the spot and the captain says, this is where it happened. And he composed, it is well. Why? Because he believed this life isn't it. I've taken enough of your time. You understand that this life isn't all there is. That we must, by faith, live our lives like Christ demonstrated. For that ultimate purpose, Christ was sent from God. So that through Him, we could go back to Him. That's the beauty of the gospel. Do you need to respond to that gospel in any way? Heaven's invitation stands open 24/7. But why not right now, with the flock gathered, let your brethren fall on your neck, give you a hug, and encourage you, and pray with you right now if you have any need to obey the gospel? Maybe you've been thinking about it since our brother offered the invitation earlier and you need to. Or maybe you just need the prayers of your brethren here and you find this to be the time. Let's pray for one another. Let's be together to stir one another up to love and good works. Let's do it right now. Take care of whatever you need. Come forward if you need, as together we stand and sing.